KFNX Renaissance Radio.
Let's get back on board with Captain Neil Bauman and Geek Speak.
All right, welcome back. Captain Neil Bauman and chatting with Stephen Roberts, the inventor of the microchip. I was about to go on a 15,000-mile journey up and down the United States a few times. Steve, you said while you're on the road, you're going to be making money speaking and publishing, writing articles. Are you actually going to be doing this while you're in the boat, or do you pull off from the shore and take out your laptop and do
something? Well, there's two answers to that. In the writing case, it's pretty easy. In fact, writing on the boat is going to be considerably easier than riding on the bike. While steering a bicycle with handlebars, your fingers are kind of constrained to one position, so I had to build a cord keyboard. On the boat, I don't really have to do that because it's a little less insistent, the process of controlling the boat. So I'll just have a waterproof corded keyboard that sits on a little frame in front of me. That's pretty easy to do. Actually, speaking is a bit of a different problem because of the logistics of getting to venues, and I've been doing that a lot when I'm off the road, hauling the equipment around in what I call the mothership to do events. Speaking gigs while traveling on the boat will probably be limited to relatively local things.
I assume you have cell phone, obviously.
Yeah, it's actually Globalstar. It's a tri-mode. It'll do analog and digital cellular as well as a satellite, the low Earth orbit constellation.
Oh, that's extraordinary.
It's really cool, actually.
Is this expensive technology?
Not very. As you may know, Iridium just went under, which is kind of sad. It was pretty neat technology. But Globalstar's model was quite a bit simpler. The satellites are very, very almost trivially simple. They're just bent pipes, so they depend on ground stations, and your signal just goes up and back down and then into a local telephone network from there. So the whole process of deploying this cost a lot less than the other systems. So it's not bad at all. And what's neat about it is the phones are tri-mode, so the normal configuration is just start with PCS or start with digital cellular, which is fairly cheap. And then if it can't find connection there, then it tries analog cellular, and if it can't find that, it goes to satellite. So,
would you be publishing on your web while you're doing this?
Actually, that's going to be probably the most active part. Via the satellite link and also ham radio PacTor, we'll be transmitting telemetry blocks about once an hour, which will somewhere around 50 channels of data, in addition to little stories and updates and images from the various cameras on the boats and so on. So the website will be updated almost continuously, and you'll be able to click on any telemetry channel and see how it's changed over the last 20 river miles or whatever.
When you did your bicycle cross-country, it was sort of a slow build-up, I assume, of publicity over time. I don't know when I first heard about it, but I think you were well in the desert when I heard about you.
Yeah.
You expect the publicity for this particular trip to be similar, or do you expect it to have a lot of people following you right from the get-go?
I think that because the bike is in the background, there's going to be quite a bit of publicity when this launches. I've really been trying to keep a low profile while working on it because I don't want to burn out the publicity machine while I'm still doing fiberglass. You know, that would be kind of saying boring photos, too. But things are starting to ramp up a little bit. We'll have a piece in Wired magazine in June and in apparently Sports Illustrated in April and 73 magazine, which is a ham radio rag, in June and so on. And I think right about the time we launch for this shakedown cruise in this 2 months from now, we'll start to see it pop again.
How did the people like Wired and Sports hear about you?
That's always a good question. I think what happens is every time there's any kind of publicity, other media see it, and it just sort of propagates. And because it's not a one-shot event, it tends to have a very long life. And if you go out and do a race or a climb or something like that, it's an event with a date and it's over in a few days, and so it has a very short, very fast media burnout. This has been evolving since 1983 with new technology being added all the time and so on, sort of a continuing story. So it's just kind of keeps going.
Who do you expect will be following this? Following you?
I think a lot of what keeps this going is the fact that it's all built on passion. I mean, my original motives for all this, long before it became complicated, were to simply build a lifestyle based on my passions. In 1983 in Columbus, Ohio, I was doing things I didn't much enjoy anymore, trying to pay for things I really didn't want after all. So I hit the reset button, and combined my particular suite of passions and interests into this this bike adventure. And I think a lot of people really resonate with that in an infinite amount of ways. I mean, everybody has different passions. So I think what a lot of people get from this is that, my God, you can combine all of this stuff and go have adventure and be productive, play with neat toys, you know, make a living. And that gets everybody thinking. So one of the things that's been very gratifying for me is seeing other people kind of resonate with this and then turn up the heat in their own passions and go do something amazing.
Interesting.
So I think there's a lot of just a lot of interest in every level, from the technology and the adventure itself to the more philosophical aspect.
What sort of writing would you do? You'd be doing magazine articles, or are you going to try to put a book together?
Well, both. And I put out postings on the net, of course, which are just available for free via email. And I tend to try to keep up with those fairly well, because that's my sort of steady feed of information and updates and so on. I do a lot of magazine articles about the system and various aspects of it, as well as when I'm traveling. I actually have something else to write about besides what I'm doing, which is kind of refreshing after spending a lot of time in the lab. And I'm sure there'll be another book. I did a book called Computing Across America about the first 10,000 miles on the bike, and then a sequel to that that's on our website. And it's definitely time for another adventure tale.
Was demand for the book reasonable?
Sorry, say again?
Was demand for the book reasonable?
Reasonable. It had kind of a cult following. It was unfortunately a very small publisher and didn't have a whole lot of horsepower behind it, but it did have three printings. I think it sold like 10,000 copies or something.
That's wonderful.
And it's just now going out of print, which gives me the opportunity to reissue it myself. We're a publisher now because we're putting out monographs and things. And technology's gotten to the point where it's pretty easy to do that, whereas 10 years ago it wasn't. So it'll be back in the next 2 or 3 months.
Do you have some goals? What do you hope to accomplish?
Fun. That's the bottom line, right?
Well, I don't know. You know, obviously you're interested in getting people to think about their lives and think about adventure, and that they don't have to sit still.
That's kind of a spinoff, you know. I mean, it's funny. I don't have any real mission in that sense. I mean, there's no.
Maybe the mission is just to have fun, just for the sport of it.
Well, it's that, you know, the fun exists on a lot of levels. For me, it's making really interesting technological gizmos work, and compounding that by packaging them in a tiny boat. So, you know, there's a lot of technical challenge, which I find just intrinsically amusing. I get a kick out of the social aspects of it, because I've never had anything. I can't even imagine anything that's a better social door opener than wandering into town on a computerized bicycle or a microphone.
Yeah, I think people like to talk to you, no question about that.
Yeah, well, it attracts interesting people, so I get to meet a lot of characters I'd never get a chance to meet otherwise. I mean, some real luminaries of the industry, you know, or people I just now count as friends, whether they've become sponsors or people I've hung out with at conferences or whatever.
So that is neat.
Yeah, it is fun. It's a good door opener.
Let's talk about the technology. How many different kinds of modalities of technology do you have on this thing? You've got all the telecommunications. You've got presumably more than one laptop.
There's a lot of the core of the system is a Linux server. We went through a lot of iterations trying to decide how to do this, and finally decided that the user interface should basically be browser based. It lets us take advantage of a lot of work that's already been done and not reinvent the wheel any more than necessary. It took me a while to come to that rather obvious conclusion.
It's taken all of us a while to come to that.
Well, we did. For example, about four or five years ago, we built an entire front end of this in NewtonScript, writing custom code with using wireless Newtons called Tarpons, and it was really neat. Except, of course, Apple pulled the plug on the Newton, which is kind of unfortunate. And then I realized that we couldn't just migrate it to another platform; we had to start over unless we wanted to use orphaned hardware. So, rather than make that mistake again with something, I decided to just make the core of the system a Linux server. So you basically drive the boats from web browsers. So both boats have a console computer that just runs Netscape or whatever, as well as laptops linked by wireless Ethernet. And then that Linux server, which is an octagon PC board, sits on top of a whole network of embedded controllers. And it's doing data collection and shoving stuff from multiple channels into databases so that you can bring up strip charts of solar panel performance or whatever. And then there's another processor called the hub that spends its time basically being kind of the watchman. It handles all the cross-point switches for audio, serial, and video routing, and all of that stuff that lets things that weren't designed to be networked behave as if they are.
Fascinating. How much was your hand in all of this technology?
Oh, I'm pretty much designing all this, but fortunately, because of the fact that we're now open sourcing it, and in fact, we just put it on SourceForge, and we're going to GPL all the software, which means the GNU public license. Suddenly, we're getting a lot of real wizards, Perl programmers, and all these guys who are network wizards are starting to contribute to the project.
Okay, well, we're going to take a short break. Please stay tuned.
Captain Neil will be right back to our discussion after this short break. There are cruises for families, seniors, singles, and even Trekkies. What about cruises for computer professionals? It makes perfect sense to accommodate this growing number of professionals. Computer geeks, better known for their intelligence rather than their partying power, need a little rest and relaxation too. Geek Cruises Incorporated offers cruises in the hottest locations around the world. With Java Jam 2000 headed up to the Caribbean, Pearl World 2000 on its way to Alaska. So get all your cyber friends together and book one of these fascinating vacations today. Tell your boss you need to go to learn more about JavaScript, XML, Perl, Java, and other hot web technologies. Visit www.geekcruises.com or call Captain Neil Bauman at 650-327-3692. That's 650-327-3692. Non-techies are strongly encouraged to attend as well. Sun, fun, and seminars. What a concept.
In her groundbreaking major work on intuition, health, and brain science, Dr. Mona Lisa Schultz is a physician, scientist, and medical intuitive, gives innovative, fresh, and exciting new ways to tap into intuition through your body and dreams, which not only holds the power to improve our health, but also to save our lives. Through this fascinating book, you can become a real body intuitive. Learn the step-by-step process of how to access your medical intuition to lead to a healthier, happier, and more fulfilling life, and help other people do the same. Information will be provided about the Intuition Network, the body's seven emotional centers, and how emotionally charged memories are stored in the brain and the body. Intuition is the language created by our brain and our body, through which we can directly gain insight, understanding, and compassion about our pasts and provide solutions for creating healthier and more pleasurable lives. To get your copy of Awakening Intuition by Dr. Mona Lisa Schultz, visit your local bookstore or go online to Amazon.com.
If you have Medicare, AARP, or Blue Cross and Blue Shield, you now have free added benefits that pay for your respiratory medications. If you suffer from asthma, asthmatic bronchitis, COPD, or emphysema, you can receive aerosol therapy medications such as Proventil, Ventolin, Albuterol, Atrovent, or Intol delivered to your home, reducing your out-of-pocket expenses. That's right. In an effort to keep seniors suffering from respiratory disorders healthy, Medicare, AARP, and Blue Cross and Blue Shield will provide and pay for your aerosol therapy medications. Call Geriatric Services of America at 1-800-279-1519 to find out how you can receive the medications you need delivered to your home while reducing your out-of-pocket costs. If you suffer from any form of respiratory disease, call 1-800-279-1519 for information about this respiratory medication program and other programs designed to keep you healthy, stable, and at home. That number is 1-800-279-1519.
Tune in to KFNX 1100 every Thursday from 9 to 9:30 a.m. and join Sherry K. Stevens on Winning Ways to Parent. Sherry is the mother of 11 biological children and is a licensed foster parent. She'll be discussing tips to help you become a successful parent. Sherry K. Stevens is the author of the book Winning Ways to Raise Your Infant to Successful Adulthood. So be sure to tune in and join Sherry on Winning Ways to Parent every Thursday at 9 a.m. on KFNX 1100.
Talk to our expert host in the Phoenix area. Call 623-247-KFNX. Outside the Phoenix area, call toll-free 877-433-KFNX.
KFNX.
Let's get back on board with Captain Neil Bauman and Geek Speak.
All right, I'm chatting with Steve Roberts about his microchip, and just before we broke away, you threw out the word Pearl, which of course is a subject of mine that I enjoy immensely. Have you written a lot of Pearl scripts for the for running the hardware on the boat?
Well, we're doing it mostly in Perl. I don't consider myself a Perl expert yet by any means. I'm working with some people who are. In fact, a curious aside here, back in, I guess, about November, I got an email from a fellow named Ned Cones who was on a bicycle trip around the United States, kind of a big loop around the West. And, yeah, I get these kind of calls a lot. And, you know, oh, yeah, I've heard about your trip and your adventures and love to meet you. I'm going to be up in your area. Can I come visit? So I said, okay, sure, but I'm really busy. I don't really have much time for a company, but yeah, come on by. We ended up staying about 2 or 3 months writing the core code for the microchip control system. It turns out he's a real Perl and Linux guru. And then we introduced him to one of the women on the island here, and he's now moved in with her. And
wow, Jesus, tremendous.
Core of our development team now. In fact, he's I think he's going on the Perl world, too. So.
What's his name?
Ned Cones, K-O-N-Z.
Yeah, really. I think so, now that you mention it.
Yeah, real sharp guy.
Great. Do you have any Java?
A little bit. I think some of the little things that are going to run in sandboxes on the in the browser environment are going to be Java tools. We've got some things where, within the context of the browser, we have to bring up little tools like graphic widgets and strip charts and things like that. And so they'll be standalone apps.
Are you, obviously all of these things are communicating to some degree, or were they just feeding into a control panel?
Well, they're in the server. There's a daemon whose job is to act as a sort of central switchboard. It currently has the clumsy name real-time data broadcaster, but we're trying to think of a somewhat more clever nomenclature. But it's dealing through sockets with all these various sources of data, and you know there's just tons of them. There, you know, things streaming numbers continuously, like wind sensors and compass and GPS and all that stuff. And so there's a lot of little tasks which are all yakking to this gadget. And then its job is to put time and location stamped updates into a database, and then also be available to stream data to real-time clients like display hardware. A typical example, just to make all this a little less abstract, is that I have 8 channels of solar panels, 60 watts each. Each of them is optimized by a peak power tracker, so that we're getting about 15% gain over what solar panels normally put out. And it's kind of nice to be able to look at charts of how this stuff is performing and what the whole system power budget looks like. So I can bring up a tool on a browser, which just feels like a web page, and see 8 channels of live data coming in with little, you know, charts that are moving, almost like a little process loading plots, you know, that you see on Linux boxes sometimes. And there's also another related tool that is a kind of a block diagram of the whole system, and you can see live indications of the amount of current in different legs of the circuit and so on.
So what are you going to use the power from the solar panels for?
The biggest single load is the thruster. In fact, there's a dedicated processor whose job is to observe the power going into the battery, into all the other system loads, what's coming from the solar panels, and then it comes up with this magic number, which it then gives the thruster controller. So you can set a throttle to max, and the thruster will just go as fast as it can without taking any power out of the battery, and it'll track the available sunlight and the other loads.
That is amazing.
But then, of course, you know, with we can get about 35 to 36 amps in full sun out of this little solar array. Bear in mind, this is on a canoe. I mean, it's a huge. It's like 2 ping pong tables in that approximate size. And so that powers everything, and there's a ship battery that is running all the console loads and all that other stuff as well.
Are you going to actually be on the water when it's nighttime, or do you plan on camping?
Well, there's no commitment to continue 24 hours a day. Certainly, I normally expect to haul out at the end of the day on the landing gear and camp. But yeah, I can fold the seat back and sleep on the boat. I've got 8 feet between the bulkheads, so there's room to stretch out in a sort of coffin-like interior.
You're going to be going north and south. These routes are primarily. You're going to be hitting winter weather?
I hope not. I'm going to try to avoid that. Part of the plan, that little loop around the U.S. that I outlined, the intent is to be getting down into the south by November, December.
The it seems to me when you took your bicycle out to Behemoth, it really was so well known. I remember seeing things on my local TV station, you know, like Action News kind of a thing. Are you expecting this sort of audience to this?
Probably. It'll be different, and I don't have any real experience traveling on a little boat like this. It's a little less in the public eye, in a sense, because you know, on the bike, you know, you're passing through town, so you can pass by somebody's house and they can pick up the phone and call their local TV station, you know, and that sort of thing happened a lot. I would often pull into town and find some guys with a camera, you know, on the outskirts, flagging me down for an interview.
We need to take a short break here, Steve.
Okay.
Neil Bauman, don't go away.
Captain Neil will be right back to our discussion after this short break. There are cruises for families, seniors, singles, and even Trekkies. What about cruises for computer professionals? It makes perfect sense to accommodate this growing number of professionals. Computer geeks, better known for their intelligence rather than their partying power, need a little rest and relaxation too. Geek Cruises Incorporated offers cruises in the hottest locations around the world. With Java Jam 2000 headed up to the Caribbean, Pearl World 2000 on its way to Alaska. So get all your cyber friends together and book one of these fascinating vacations today. Tell your boss you need to go to learn more about JavaScript, XML, Perl, Java, and other hot web technologies. Visit www.geekcruises.com or call Captain Neil Bauman at 650-327-3692. That's 650-327-3692. Non-techies are strongly encouraged to attend as well. Sun, fun, and seminars. What a concept.
You've reached Paul Schmidt, Director of Advertising at Budget Rent-A-Car. I'm unable to get to the phone right now, so leave a message.
Paul, it's your father. I was thinking, you guys at Budget rent great luxury cars like Jaguars, Town Cars, and that Grand Marquis, which starts at $49 a day. It made me think. Classical music is luxurious, so maybe you have a commercial where Beethoven is driving around in that Grand Marquis, you know, eating caviar. And then Beethoven says, the Grand Marquis, starting at $49. Now that's music to my ears, huh? Or what about a commercial where a guy sees the great deal on the Grand Marquis and he starts hyperventilating because he can't believe it? And then he dies. But at the end he winks, so we know he's not really dead. I don't know.
To rent the Grand Marquis starting at $49 a day, call 800-BUDGET-7 or go to budget.com. Mention rate code NA, valid at participating locations and subject to availability. Optional LDW $18.99 per day or less. Additional charges and restrictions apply.
Have you read the headlines? John Korn is hosting Court Radio, Saturdays at 6 p.m. He is giving advice right over the radio. This guy has got degrees in law, psychology, and political science, not to mention 14 years as a trial lawyer in Texas. That's where the real learning takes place. All you have to do is call his radio show, and his knowledge is all yours. That's John Korn of Court Radio, Saturdays at 6 p.m., right here on your biggest talk station, KFNX 1100 AM.
You're listening to Arizona's Talk Alternative, offering the most unique program, 1100 KFNX Renaissance Radio.
Let's get back on board with Captain Neil Bauman and Geek Speak.
Okay, we're nearing the end of the show. Steve, if someone is on one of these rivers and you're canoeing by and they're in a boat, can they hook up with you in some fashion?
Oh, yeah, we'd love to have a little traveling circuits. In fact, we've a friend, a guy named Bob Stewart, who designed our pedal drive unit and did a lot of the deck work on the boats, has these little boats he's building now called bicanoes, which are little proas with pedal and sail power. And we're thinking it might be fun to gradually accumulate a little stable of these things and make them available for people to come join us on the trip for, you know, weeks, months, or whatever, depending on how we get along.
Well, that would be nice. I don't know, if you make your way up the San Francisco Bay, I'd like to join you.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Where can people get information, current information about what you're doing?
Well, probably the best single source, surprise, is the website. It's www.microship.com. And there's a place on the front page there to put in your email address. I put out a Tech Adventure email update about once every month or so, and no other traffic or spam, of course. So that's probably the best way to just kind of get news is to just go subscribe. And then that site also has a pretty deep archive of all previous updates and bike tales and pictures and all sorts of goodies. So
I've spent some time at the site, and I'm on your email list, and I have to say your email letters are just tremendously entertaining.
Oh, thank you.
So I highly recommend them to anyone who's listening. Who are you traveling with? Who's your partner on this?
Natasha. I met her three years ago yesterday on the Internet. She found my website. She was working on a video about modern-day nomads and sent me email. And 1.2 megabytes of email, and 7 weeks later, she flew from London to San Francisco Airport, and the rest is history. We got married a year later, we've been pretty full-time partners ever since. She's now doing all our web design work and publications, building her own boat. She's doing all her own fiberglass work. And
both of you then will be using your uplinks to the Internet while you're boating?
Yeah. My boat has the communications tools on it, and then we have a LAN that is via wireless, so that when she gets her email, it'll just be through my server.
Okay. And if she wants to download pages, it'll go through to you?
Yep.
Boat to boat first, and then you'll upload.
My boat is her ISP.
Have you built these boats for comfort at all? I mean, you're going to spend a lot of time.
Yeah, the seats are nice web recumbent seats that were made for the Ryan recumbent, and there's a lot of little creature comforts. I have running water in mine with a little 7-liter tank and a pump. There's we have full cook stoves, nice camping equipment. We can pull the boats out of the water and set them side by side, stretch a giant shaped canopy over the two of them, and then erect a tent in between, and we have a really nice little living space.
That does sound very nice.
The antennas protrude, so we've got still all of connectivity, and so it's designed to be home. And then we've got a home to come back to, too. We live in Camino Island, Washington, and we've got 11 acres here of woods and a 3,000-square-foot lab we put up last year where we're actually doing all this fabrication work. So this is
who's going to watch your place while you're gone?
I don't know yet. We have a few people have expressed interest, but we'll have somebody living here and probably being our base office as well. Technology is great, but we still need that connection with mail and archives and the file cabinets. You know. So.
Yep, I guess so. You have a pet you're going to bring along?
Oh yeah, I think so. Our cat is named Java, and Tasha is totally in love with her. So we're going to try it. I'm a little skeptical about how practical that might be, but we'll see how that goes.
Have you exposed the cat to the water at this point?
No, but she has traveled around the country with us on speaking engagements, though. She's got about 17,000 or 18,000 miles on her now. So at least she's used to movement and thinking of us as home rather than a specific place. But how that translates into small boats, so it remains to be seen.
Well, it promises to be cute and entertaining.
It should, yeah. The joke is, of course, that she'll be better known than either of us. We are building a little backpack for the cat that has a four-channel telemetry, so I can send commands to it to turn on a blinky LED so we can see her in the dark, start beeping so we can hear her, transmit a location beacon, which is just a little RF signal, or transmit video from the cat cam. She'll have a little waterproof wireless camera that mounts on her.
All right, well, we're out of time. Thank you very much for joining us, Steve. I enjoyed it immensely. Best of luck on your upcoming trip. Next week, I'm interviewing Dr. Phil Alper, MD, an expert on user interface issues. Hope you'll join us then. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Neil.
Welcome to Geek Speak with Captain Neil Bauman of Geek Cruises Incorporated. For the next hour, Captain Bauman will let you in on the latest and greatest in computer technology and inform you on his great R&R plan. All comments, views, and opinions are those of Captain Neil, his guest, and his callers. Now let's board the virtual cruise ship and join Captain Neil Bauman.